2023 Presidential Report by Sheila Wright. In the National Federation of the Blind and Missouri, members are our greatest resource. Most of you are involved in the National Federation of the Blind and Missouri as a member of one of our local chapters or in our at-large chapter, which we began for members that do not live near a local chapter. Some of you serve on one or more of the NFB statewide committees, and I want to thank you for all you do. If you are ready to get involved or want to take on additional roles, please reach out to your chapter president or to me and let us know where you want to serve. If you are not sure where you can best serve, please let me know and we can suggest opportunities that may be a good fit. And at any rate, there is a place for you. And when you decide to engage, we, the Organized Blind of Missouri, will be stronger, and your opportunity to gain experience and make a positive difference in your community and beyond will become a reality. The National Federation of Blind of Missouri has experienced growth throughout the state over the past year, and this is exciting. Our Springfield chapter has doubled in size and is still growing, and other chapters are bringing in new members every quarter. Last year, during the presidential report, you heard about our work to pass the Blind Students' Rights to Independence Training and Education Act, BRIGHT Act. Shortly after the state convention, we celebrated the passage of the BRIGHT Act. Later this morning, you will hear a report from Kevin Hollinger and Gary Wunder on the importance of the collaboration that occurred to get this bill passed, what we learned from this collaboration, and how the BRIGHT Act strengthens the Missouri statutes to advocate for the services blind students need. Wanting to take advantage of all we've learned about involving all the stakeholders in the early phase of a bill, we reached out to the Missouri Board of Pharmacy and the Missouri Association of Pharmacists in the fall, requesting time on their agenda to speak with them about accessible prescription labels and a solution. We were delighted to be invited to make a presentation to the Missouri Board of Pharmacy, and just a few days prior to the meeting, Representative Michael Stevens filed HB 812, the Accessible Prescription Label Act. Roger Crum and I presented the NFB of Missouri's concerns, demonstrated several audible solutions, and answered questions. The discussion was positive, and several members of the board indicated that they were unaware that such devices and apps existed and expressed their appreciation for the information. Others were more familiar with the topic. We were encouraged because there was acknowledgement that not having access to prescription information is a safety issue. However, they expressed hesitance to go as far as to require every pharmacy to go to the expense that would be required for them to provide the accessible prescription labels. They agreed to talk among themselves to determine their positions and or what they may be able to undertake. The real outcome has been that we now have an open and ongoing conversation, and regardless of the outcome of the bill, they are working with us to conduct an accessible prescription label education campaign. Charlotte Glass from Envision America has been with us all the way and has been most helpful in providing information and drafting the FAQ and responses to questions raised at the House Health and Mental Health hearing on March 6th. A shout out to Charlotte, who has been with us at this convention. The experience we have gained this year and improved tools we have developed this year will help us make better presentations when talking with members of the legislature in future meetings and hearings. Douglas Ryder, a blind father of two children, Nicholas, 13, and Abigail, 11, has faced challenges in his 14-year marriage due to his wife's multiple affairs. In her most recent affair, she decided she wanted to move to Jefferson City and take the children with her. This would have been exceedingly difficult for Douglas because he does not drive, not to mention he has had no interest in giving up custody. He has always been the primary caretaker of the children. It was only when his wife wanted to move that his blindness became an issue in the custody dispute. Although Douglas's wife and her legal team have repeatedly asked the guardian ad litem and the court to consider his blindness, they have thus far considered it irrelevant. Fortunately, we were able to tell Douglas about the law that was passed to protect the rights of blind and disabled parents. Not only has this been helpful in the eyes of the court, it has been transformational in getting Douglas's attorney to acknowledge that he does have rights and can be defended. While transportation remains a challenge, Douglas has managed to find workarounds to fulfill his parenting duties. A PDL, Pendente Light, hearing was held to determine temporary custody arrangements while the divorce is ongoing. The judge found Douglas to be more credible, which suggests that he views the wife as less trustworthy. This may bode well for Douglas in the upcoming custody decision. Currently, he has major custody and the wife's visitation is limited to weekends and the sharing of holidays. In September of 2021, our affiliate received a grant to fund a senior blind program. Like so many things, COVID interfered and are getting the program off the ground. Seniors were just not eager to go out in public. Finally, in September 2022, we held our first senior retreat at an Airbnb in Kansas City South. We had four participants signed up, however, two had to cancel at the last minute. The two participants that came learned about several resources such as accessible prescriptions and other solutions to manage medications, NFB Newsline, Be My Eyes, and IRA, way around tags and other ways to identify clothing, etc. We demonstrated, and they had an opportunity to practice alternative techniques for cooking, cleaning, and other ADL tasks. They were introduced to reading and writing Braille and cane travel techniques. Most of all, they had an opportunity to get to know several successful blind adults and had an opportunity to talk with others about their fears, frustrations, and hopes. We hope to build on this experience with these individuals and expand the program to reach newly blind seniors who can benefit from similar experiences. Thank you to Linda Blackwhite and Willa Patterson for being on hand to share their lived experiences with the first senior blind retreat. In September, Governor Parson issued a proclamation designating October 15th as White Cane Awareness Day, and so did the mayors of Columbia, Jefferson City, Kansas City, St. Louis, and Springfield. I certainly do not want to forget the proclamation from St. Louis County. Our December Blind Missourian also had reports from several of our chapters about their Blind Equality Achievement Month activities. It will soon be time to start planning for our 2023 Blind Equality Achievement Month, and I look forward to seeing the innovative ideas our chapters will launch. It was great to be live in Washington, D.C. once again this year in February. Though we made a lot of good contacts during our virtual seminars, there is nothing like being there for our in-person meetings. Dennis Miller, our legislative director, distributed information to our members as soon as it became available and entered all the important data into the Washington Seminar portal. Larice Kaysen and Seyun Choi helped with the scheduling appointments with their members of Congress. Our Missouri team this year consisted of Larice Kaysen, first-timer, Amy Wilson, first-timer, Seyun Choi, and veterans Debbie and Gary Wonder. Those that have been to Washington Seminar will tell you our Washington Seminar is an opportunity to see the Federation in action. Each year, the Washington Seminar is the kickoff to our legislative year. It is exciting and energizing. However, it is only the beginning of our legislative year. During the Washington Seminar, we visited the offices of both Missouri senators and the congressional office of all eight of our members of the House of Representatives. During these meetings, we outlined our priorities, which were the Websites and Software's Applications Accessibility Act, the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act, and the Blind Americans Return to Work Act. Our national representative talked about each of these bills earlier this morning. The truth is that these bills are merely concepts right now. The more each of our elected officials in Washington hear your stories and how these bills can help you, the more likely they will be willing to support these bills and turn these bills into acts that will be effective to you and blind Americans across our land. So please call or email when you hear about our calls for action. Our Jefferson City Seminar was a success this year. For the first time in many years, every chapter was represented, and the number of appointments with legislators made this year's seminar a tremendous success. Thank you to all who made appointments, for those of us who were able to go to Jefferson City, and to everyone who walked or wheeled the halls of the Missouri State Capitol. I cannot end this paragraph without thanking those who testified at the hearing for 812 or sat in the hearing room lending your support. It was exciting to see several new witnesses who submitted written testimony. Well, I better move on to the next topic so Roger will still have something to say tomorrow when I call on him for his governmental affairs report. Thank you for all being a part of the National Federation of Blind of Missouri. With love, hope, and determination, we can make dreams come true. Let's build the National Federation of the Blind of Missouri.